awesome. The communication with the family, all of the great.
Yeah, that's a very, yeah.
We must have been on the losing end of your ball.
Yeah.
When we were.
Yeah, would you pretty much mention, I never got to go there in Iraq here. So it was pretty busy.
Green Hill will have a handout, or if they want to hand it out when they do their preparing.
We don't have.
We don't have a friend.
Mostly, yeah.
Well, I was born in Seattle.
Okay.
All right, thank you all for coming, to tonight's, Eisenhower West, Landmark and Dorn Implementation Advisory Group meeting. It's a mouthful, I know. This meeting is, serving as a forum for community engagement for a couple of development projects that are happening in the Eisenhower West and Landmark and Dorn plan areas. So tonight, all of the presentations will be by the applicants, and all of the questions that you have will be answered by our applicants tonight, and anything planning related that the city, can answer will be available here. My name is Ashley Labadie. I'm with Planning and Zoning Neighborhood Planning with Maya Contreras and Nathan Randall with Planning and Zoning and Development. First we'll start off with Public Storage Boat U.S. Development Project. Mark Biani is here. He's the attorney with the project. And then we'll have a presentation, a brief presentation by Bud Hart with Hart and Gibbs on the Green Hill development over on South Pickett and Edsel Road. And just a quick reminder, we are starting the Landmark Mall replanning process officially on November 14th. It'll be held in this room from 7 to 9 p.m. And if you'd like to sign up for notifications for that, if you're not already on my email list, just sign up. Maybe put a star next to your name and I'll add you to our ongoing email list for notifications. And as always, we encourage everyone to sign up for e-news notifications. The agenda at the front of the door has ways to sign up. And so without further ado,
I will ask you one question. Yeah. Do we have the other dates for Landmark Mall picks? I know you talked about it before.
Yeah.
Or the reason that each meeting rolled to the back.
We are working on those dates right now.
Okay.
Tentatively, we have December 1st, Saturday, December 1st for the open house. And we're working on finding a location for that. And we'll have a meeting in January and one in February.
But December 1st, that's not when you're expecting us to show up at the steering committee, or you are? December 1st.
Okay. Ashley, could we get all of those dates set by the end of next week so that we can get them out? Because December, as we've discussed before, is really a tough month, even the first. So the sooner we get those published, the less chance that you've got people in the community that say we didn't know or it was last minute.
Absolutely.
And actually through March, if we can get all the dates set.
Yes, we're working on it steadfast, so we will get those up as soon as possible. And when we usually give the notification for our public meetings at least 2 weeks in advance, so at least by the 2 week in advance of the November 14th, we will have those dates set. Okay, so I'm going to hand this over to Mark now. Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming tonight. My name is Mark Biani. I'm the attorney for Public Storage. Being Kenny Foreman. With me, we have our entire team. We've got Dan Matula, who's the area vice president for Public Storage. I also have Mike Berkley and Catherine Roberts with Bowler Engineering. Mike Burns is our architect, Russ Rowling. So thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. We are talking tonight about the Boat U.S. site. So I think most people are probably kind of familiar with the property. It's, and this is Van Doren, this is Pickett Street. This is our site here. It's currently occupied by Boat U.S. Boat U.S. has held the property for a long time. They sold the property back in 2017 to Public Storage. Boat U.S. is relocating over to Springfield. So right now, they currently occupy the site. They're moving out at the end of 2018. The site is typical of the sites you'll find on South Pickett Street. It's 7.3 acres, one of the bigger ones actually, zoned industrial. The existing building on there is a single-story light industrial building. A lot of office in it as well. It's about 70,000 square feet with a large amount of parking, both on the east and west sides of it. And then, let's put that here. You have parking here. You have parking here. You have a significant amount of parking. All we get is actually there. And then some of this area right here is leased to the folks at Alexander Way. So that's the property right now. The Public Storage purchased the property back in November of 17. When they were doing it, they were looking at coming forward as a by right project, which would be, it's industrial zone. So the use is permitted by right, but the site plan would still have to be approved by the Planning Commission. And so this was the original project we were looking at. We went through a couple of iterations, and it was going to be just a standard four-story self-storage building, about 270,000 square feet. We're going to knock down the original building and put that up. There was no option for residential on the property. We're just going to maintain the existing street network. We would obviously have to match some of the streetscapes and the light and match the Eisenhower plan, but it was just going to be largely just taking it through as a site plan and by right project. And there wouldn't have been any contributions for like parkland and roadways down here. When we came and talked to staff, and this would have been spring of this year or so, staff said, well, you need to be aware there's a small area plan. I followed it, just in the area as well. And, they were talked very much about all the effort the communities put into this, the planning commissions had put into it, your group had put into it. So we got to find out more about the plan, how it was adopted, establishing this new set of grids, pedestrian connections, and the theme behind it, trying to change the areas over to, from industrial to more of a mixed use, focused more on Eisenhower, Eisenhower West Metro Station. So that was kind of what we were doing. And it was also looking, one of the big things was this creating backlit run into a water feature. Restoring that, providing kind of a grassy parkland there with some continuous kind of frontage along there. But, changing the area over to residential mixed use. Within that, we are in the Van Dorn Industrial Innovation District. You're looking at that, some of the key features of that are supposed to be a mixed use, about 5 to 8 stories tall, with residential primarily on the first floor, PWR production, wholesale, and repair on the first floor. This focus on creating kind of a roving park, continuous parkland, kind of like on, you see on camera, on backlit run. And if you look at the Eisenhower plan, there's pretty nice graphics, hand drawn graphics of vehicles parked on there and people enjoying the park. And the other recommendations were the new British streets, like I say, the PWR space, the height, the backlit run. Also for our site, there was a recommendation for some green space, linear green space on Burnside. This would be our property right here. This is Burnside. This road doesn't exist. This is where, notionally, I guess the Farrington Avenue connector is going to connect, South Pickett. But for, it was also just to, see if we could provide green space on our site too. That was kind of what the comp plan, small area plan, was looking to recommend.
What is PWR?
Production, wholesale, and repair. So it's supposed to be, if you would think like in other areas we have first floor retail, here in that place that area actually is kind of light industrial. So whatever use is, and I would refer to staff, that's how they interpret.
We used this to mean a maker space.
Okay.
That was the intent of that part of the planning area.
Well put. More succinctly. So getting back to, when we started talking with staff, up until about July, this thing was still looking at, we looked at a whole bunch of different configurations. If we were to provide a residential option, provide a self-storage option, we would maybe have self-storage here, residential here, self-storage there, different configurations But we're also very strongly considering the just the buy right options. In July, the project pretty much came together. And I'm going to get together, talk to you a little bit about kind of the background, because I think a lot of you are hearing this for the first time. A lot of people are very upset with that, and I'll tell you, the person to blame for that is me. I'll walk through the time frame here, but it's me and me alone, okay? But you have, we came to a point where through July we started putting together a plan. And the plan was taking advantage of the CDD process. The CDD process allows us to rezone the property, take advantage of the more flexible development. What we were proposing was a two-phase development. What the goal of this whole process was is still get the building we want, but you know, working with staff, and staff is pretty sincere about this, a lot of work had come into this plan, and the first project to come out of here should not be something that goes kind of directly contrary to what people want in terms of the greenways, in terms of the streetscapes, in terms of the green space along the side, you know, all of that, and also frankly kind of defeating the purpose of having mixed use in the area. And so, you know, this is something Public Storage has done once or twice, you know, under Dan's leadership and some folks back at Greenville, California. They said, fine, we'll engage in this. So what we propose is a two-phase CDD. And the application that's going to be going forward is the CDD and a DSCP for the first phase. Let me explain that to you. Here is our property, the entire 7.3 acres. Right? The first phase is going to be what you see over here, which is a self-storage building, and I'll get through the description of this, you know, we walk around the property in a couple other slides. And then a ancillary parking facility right here. Alright. And then with that, we would be giving all of this land here to the city for parkland. We'd also be doing, you know, things such as, you know, moving invasives like there. If you get back there, I encourage you to go back there, take a look. This thing is paved from one end to the other. It really is. And then this goes a little bit down the back lake run. You have some scrub trees and stuff. There were a lot of invasives. You know, we saw everything from some bamboo to there was a banana tree there. You name it, a whole bunch of tangly weeds. But, you know, so removing all that, dedicating all this area to the city for what they're eventually going to use as part of what they call Park Drive. And you'll see that reflected right there. This would be the ultimate conditions. The self-storage facility comes in here, and we'll get to the architecturals as well. If you go in there. Second phase being a five to 15 story residential tower, and that would be facing here. And when we walked with staff, the goal was to have the residential facing the water feature, taking advantage of Park Drive to complete the vision that the city saw in the Eisenhower plan. Now, what is this going to look like? And so, what we propose to do is, I'm going to actually go back here, it's probably a little better here, is the entire linear, now this is providing the streetscape exactly as the city, you know, wants for the Eisenhower West plan. And that will include over here green space, park, sidewalks, tree pits, the parking spaces here. Same thing with over here, only there's no green space recommended there. Providing the streetscape as the city wants here. Providing half of the streetscape here, because this other the other half is coming from this property where it's off site. But providing that so that's available when that property redevelops. In doing that, pretty much as you see right here in the first phase, then we provide interior landscaping for the parking. All right. Then, when phase two came in, that parking would go away, and this is only limited to 15 years anyway. That parking would go away, so if phase two comes in earlier, that would go away. Phase two comes in, the rest of the road is half road here is constructed. If this property is, you know, up and running at that point, we construct the remainder of that road. This property here, the streetscape is done as required by the plan here as well. That allows, you know, Park Drive comes in, you know, city gets, you know, will construct, you know, Park Drive as they see fit. And that's what we're trying to do ultimately. The goal here basically being to do everything we could possibly do to meet the vision that you guys had in the Eisenhower plan, notwithstanding the fact that you didn't anticipate self-storage. And I understand that. So, and, you know, we filed that CDD application on July 27th. All right? That was filed on July 27th. And, you know, the first public notice we sent out, I think, was to the community groups the staff gave us. And we sent those letters out on September 12th. So why was there a delta between 27th and the 12th? All right, it was August. There's really no other than just that's when we got it out, and you can blame me. All right, and then we have since gone ahead and sent out emails trying to reach out to the other property owners, other communities updating. We did have a community meeting last night. you know, we're here to talk here, and we're happy to meet with other communities as you wish. And, yes, ma'am.
I have a question for staff. Why wasn't the implementation group on that list, or the HOAs and civic association in this area?
On the list?
On the list that he was given to send out.
So I recall that we submitted, that we sent to Mark a list of several civic associations to contact, and that he did in fact contact.
We sent those letters out, and then we sent out two or three
rounds. None of us in this room received any notice until the most recent one, which means we were not on the list that staff gave him. So there's a project that's been in the city for actually 6 months that not anyone sitting here knew about.
We did, yes.
So we just to clarify, we did bring up OUS at the last meeting.
Right.
It's been on the mind of
in a split second with no information.
Correct.
We also followed that up with a handout that had explicit information about the development project that we discussed at the May meeting. It's all on the website.
But we definitely take your point.
On those notice lists from now going forward, because things are moving too quickly.
Yes.
And it's not fair to the associations that most of these people represent. And, you know, I sit on planning commission and didn't even know about it.
I'm with the Civic Association as well as the chairman of the West End Coalition, which has basically every single major player in the West End, news to us. That is not the way to do business. Green Hill here has been proactive in reaching out to us. I don't know how many meetings we've had, or Civic Association. They've had public meetings. This is a massive project. We're having issues with the multimodal bridge. We haven't even gotten that fixed. So this is, to me, outrageous.
Well, I'll double check the list we got. It may have been the ball drop in our end. Entirely possible we dropped the ball in terms of this. We sent out the notices again. Well, and yet the reality is also, this was July. As of July, this thing was still alive, right? We didn't file this thing until July 27th. Point's taken. And our commitment is to continue with the follow-up and maintain, you know, regular contact. I'll have my business cards here. If people would like to, you know, change information after this,
there's one thing to reaching out after the horse has gone out of the barn. It's quite a different thing before, you know, the horse is in the barn. And this is, in my view, too big, too much, too fast, with very little notice.
Okay. I understand. Don't disagree. So these are the architectural elevations we have prepared right now. And this would show the first phase of the TDD. And this is looking kind of here with the JBG parcel, looking southeast. And if you look on the comp plan, it talks about this being kind of a plaza area. So we just kind of put that area just so you're looking at the plaza there. I'll let JBG decide how they're going to do that plaza, but in cost for the city. So here's our project. And we've gone ahead, and I'll let Mike Burns talk a little bit about the materials that they're using. We get that, but, you know, essentially we're going with very upgraded architectural elevations, much more expensive materials than we typically use on these kinds of projects. Also, what we're proposing here is you have our office right here, and we're going to have 3,000 feet of maker space here. So basically around the entire frontage of the property, about 3/4 of the frontage would be, you know, office or PWR space there. Access to the property comes in here through the drive to the center. Let me back right up a little bit and give you an idea. You drive in through here. There's parking and loading inside. So there is no parking or loading that goes on outside. Then when you're complete, you drive out of the property and turn either this way down the alley. The alley will be a public alley. After this road here or out here, the burn side, and depending on ferry connector, maybe you can hit it that way. But that's how access center. All the loading, all the parking for this building is internal to the building. And then streetscape as required by the Eisenhower West Plan. Alright. Just kind of a summary of the two phases. You know, the first phase is 380,000 square feet of self-storage and street level PWR space. We're going to be constructing partially the new roads. dedication of the open space along Backwood Run, restoration of the RPA and the floodplain improvements, and the interim service parking lot. Phase two would be the 400,000 square feet of residential, about 350 units, with associated amenity space, completion of the public roads, and opening of the green space along Burnside Place. So this is what it looks like, kind of, if you're from a bird's eye view, looking southeast. This would be phase one. Again, you've got the building right here. What we did was take the blocking diagrams, I'm sure you've all seen from the Eisenhower West Plan, and insert this in there. So this is about 66 feet right there, six stories. And then you've got the parking lot behind it. And then you've got, you know, the land that we're dedicating behind there. This would be phase two. Coming in here. Now, just because we're showing it at 15 stories doesn't mean someone's going to come along and build it at 15 stories. It's 5 to 15 stories, but you don't want to show 5 and then someone else come in later on and sound like we're, you know, trying to move the ball there. So that's kind of a worst case scenario, or the highest and best use scenario, however you look at it. All right, this is a reverse looking northwest. And again, you have the first phase right here with the associated parking lot. Second phase there comes in, and the completion of Park Drive down there. And some questions at last night's meeting about what would it look like versus the buy-right option. All right, so we got this prepared real quickly. This is what the buy-right option would look like. 270,000 square feet, about 50 feet tall. Probably had some parking right here in the front. There would have been no dedication for the park plan or the roads, that would just remain. And I'm sure some of that would landscape, some of that we just prepared this last night, so the same day, so we haven't got a chance to get into that. But that land would remain part of the part of public storage. And so then you have that versus CDD1. Now, some of the questions I had, there were some concerns about whether or not this building here was going to block the buildings over here or how the view like that. Again, we have designed this building from a streetscape standpoint, the box itself to be basically what's envisioned in the Eisenhower plan. The only difference you really have is, you know, what's in the box. Right? In this case, self-storage, you know, generates about 28 to 30% of the traffic volume. If this was a equivalent size multifamily apartment project, but that's what we'd be seeing right there. And then this is again here with phase two in place here, with CDD phase two. Looking along, this is if you're on Pickett Street. Looking along right here, this is kind of the streetscape we've designed. You can see the Eisenhower plan. The sidewalk, you've got maker space right along the frontage here. You've got green space here and trees. This would be look like kind of if you're sitting at the JBG parcel on the plaza area, looking at vehicles going in. And then you have the kind of internal area. There's, you know, an office right there. You see maker space there. That's part of continuous frontage that goes on that way, of the maker space. One of the questions we received last night is, what does this thing look like compared to the existing building on there? And where the frontage, you know, where's the building facing going to be? Where's the existing building facing is? Where's the curbing going to be? So I want to walk through a few minutes of that. You know, first of all, this is the existing building. That is, the red is the proposed building. What we've done proposed is design this exactly as the Eisenhower plan envisions it. For folks that are asking the questions over here, this building face here is going to be about 30 feet closer than it was there. The curb is maybe a foot, or just about the same as the existing curbing right there. Same curbing here, pulls back a little to allow the parking versus, you know, what you got right there, but not by much. Main change really is over here. You have this building here. The building face will come out here, and we'll be providing the sidewalks and the side parking here. But beyond that, that's the limits of our property. There won't be, until this property here redevelops, won't be the equivalent of that street right there. All these streets are designed per the Eisenhower plan. We provide widths, and the same thing with the actual sidewalks and the green boxes and stuff like that. Tree boxes. Project development applications. We've got the CDD. We've got an SUP for a parking reduction. And someone asked why you need a parking reduction. We need a parking reduction basically because we went ahead and inventory all these self-storage uses in the area. Take a look at the property on Holland Lane. Look at some of the other ones. you have buildings that are about this size, and they basically operate at about 5 to 6 to 7 spaces. You know, we've got to have way more than that already inside the building. We pack this thing to have enough parking in the building to take advantage of that entire channel. But, you know, the reality is most of that's never going to get used. You know, but the parking requirement for that would be beyond even what's in the building. So you have that, you have a traffic management plan, SUP, master plan amendment. All right, so why is there a master plan amendment? I think that's one of the things people are really concerned about. Master plan amendment, the CDD to go forward has to be consistent with the Eisenhower West Small Area Plan. We can go ahead and do the project by right under existing zoning, but if we do that, it largely defeats, I think, whatever we want to see happen on this site with regard to the Eisenhower West Plan. So what we're trying to do is trying to find some sort of happy medium where we can potentially provide the box that I think was a vision in the Eisenhower West Plan, provide the streetscapes, provide the open space, provide the green areas, provide the parkland, provide all those things that were envisioned in the Eisenhower West Plan, but still allow the core use that public storage wants out of there. Eisenhower West Plan, if you look at it in the Innovation District, you know, you don't see self-storage allowed there. So that's, you know, that's going to be a threshold there for people to think about as we go forward here. Then the other part of the DSCP Phase 1, and then there's a vacation of public right-of-way. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You see right here, there's this little triangle set up right here. Well, in order to achieve the plan, that has to be squared off. So you have 312 feet of land and grass can be vacated there so the building can meet what is required of the Eisenhower West Plan. That's not something we really care about, but it is what squares off and makes it the Eisenhower West Plan. So that's kind of the other part of this application indication. So with that, you know, right now we're set to go for November. And I'd be happy to take any questions, comments, discussions, and we're having additional outreach.
And one of the earlier slides, the DSUP slide.
Yeah.
You said that parking area is for what, 15 vehicles, is that what you said?
Well, just about 15 years. Yeah, that'd be an ancillary extra vehicle parking. You know, for the life of that, you know, the CDD is 15 years, so we condition it that to the life of the CDD, or unless phase two comes in, if 5 years from now phase two comes in, then that would take it out.
Well, who or what triggers phase two?
The market, really. You know, if you get a developer that wants to come in and, you know, use it by the site and develop it as residential, there's phase two right there. What they would do is they'd come forward with their own DSUP, and that DSUP would essentially take this out.
Now, isn't there already a public storage facility at that corner?
There is.
Okay, so what's happening with that?
There's nothing happening with that. Sorry.
So we really need two public storages in a quarter mile of each other?
I'll defer to the Dan, but you know, that's...
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, whether I've got, you know, two on the same street or I've got, you know, two of them 3 miles apart, you know, there's a market demand and there's a lot of redevelopment and growth going on here. I mean, this is a significant investment for us. We wouldn't be making that investment without the need. So there is a need for more storage, and that's, you know, why we're proceeding.
Okay, so what are you doing to fix up the first site?
That one has nothing to do with this project.
Well, it has a lot to do with the redevelopment of the area.
Okay.
I mean, why aren't you building this on Route 1, where all the redevelopment is going on now? I'm sure they need a lot of storage out there, too.
I mean, because this is a site we bought, and it's zoned for storage. We're trying to, you know, work with all of you in the city to give you what was envisioned in the Eisenhower plan.
Now, if you're asking about Richmond Highway, there are three sites on Richmond Highway that public storage owns, all of which are frankly way underutilized. That's a subtle sales pitch to death.
I mean, we don't need any
self storage essentially in
the overall area. And we have many properties that are on the same street or right next to each other.
Why not flip the residential and put the residential on the street and the storage in the back?
We had considered that, and I'll let you talk to staff too about that. You know, the goal, as we were told, the staff wanted to see, have residential be focused on the water feature here, and, you know, parked right here, and have that. And this was viewed as basically being like commercial, and to have this be, build a box consistent with what, you know, you would expect to see any other use in that same box there, only just us going in self-storage.
Mark, I have several short questions. Did I hear you say there's a 15-year life for the CBD? That means you anticipate the storage facility would only be there 15 years?
Well, the viability, the storage facility is going to be there until whatever called storage has to
So you're not proffering
it. We're conditioning this only no longer. As part of the CDD, this would last no longer than 15 years.
Then what does it revert to?
Well, that's the question. But hopefully, at that point, the market will come in, and you'll have a residential there. If not, you know, there's an opportunity to come back and extend it, or
no, we need to put some.
So you're proffering a 15-year sunset.
Proffering a 15-year sunset.
I think you're saying CDD and what you need is an SDP. So there's a 15-year sunset on the special use permit for that, the ancillary parking lot.
For the parking lot or for the storage building?
For the parking lot.
What about the storage building?
The storage building is approved, yeah.
Until the market demands something else.
Well, and a master plan amendment effectively changes the small area plan.
Right.
So why with the first application, are we doing a master plan amendment and changing what we worked on for all these years?
Yeah, well, so I can answer that. So I think that this proposal, sure. Again, my name is Nathan Randall with the Development Division of Planning and Zoning. I think that our answer to that is that the proposal does offer consistency with the plan. And there are two items that I really want to point out. And Mark did mention them before, but there are two things that we at the city think are really valuable and would implement the plan. Would be number one, the street network. So it establishes a street network that could be continued on other properties as they redevelop. And then the other is, of course, that the dedication of open space. So, you know, that's part of the plan that would connect, of course, the back to front greenway across, you know, several properties. So I think that although true that the use would need a master plan amendment, we see this project overall as implementing the plan in many ways, and those are two important ways that it does that.
Okay, a couple more questions, if you don't mind.
Yes.
The maker space, the 3,000 square feet, are you anticipating subsidized rent, market rent, and what happens if that space doesn't find a tenant?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're not having a tenant and you get a tenant at lower rent, you know, I'll let Dan refer to that. You know, it's space that's available for lease. The question is their market for it, really.
Right.
That's the first question, but, you know, that's a requirement of the Eisenhower West plan. So we're making it available.
But at market rent?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, that's your initial try.
Yeah.
Okay. And then are you proffering the staff suggested developer contributions of $3 per square foot?
The developer contributions for phase two, yes.
For phase two.
Phase two.
What about phase one?
You're not proffering that for phase one.
It might not be a catalyst project by the time phase two rolls around, so then it'll be $7 per square foot.
Well, the policy to make it $3 per foot goes to city council next month.
Right.
So it goes to December.
The policy needs to go before this comes. Yeah.
Question.
Yes, sir.
What is the logic of putting a residential property back there?
So we looked at the property a couple of different times. Could you go back to the SDP slide?
Remember, it costs the city money to run a school bus back there, things of that nature. We have a school crowding problem. If you want to put people, you even want to think about a piece of residential property there in an industrial area?
Not in the short term, probably, but that is the whole long term goal. So the location on the site was something we worked with the applicant and did a number of variations on. We initially had the same thought that you did, that the residential should go towards the front of the site. We also looked at whether these ran parallel to the street or perpendicular to the street.
My thought is, why residential at all?
Residential called for in the plan.
Yeah. That's the only part of this that's part of the plan, is the residential.
And fortunately, the street network and the park, so we've got a couple pieces, but yes, the residential in terms of use.
That park is not going to get any use, Maya, because there's no connectivity to the other park area. None. And there won't be any until the east side of Eisenhower, east side of South Ticket starts to develop.
So one of the things that was also very important to us on this location in terms of connections is that this does provide a connection to Fairfax County. And that tail at the end, that is the border with Fairfax County. We've been in conversations with Fairfax County, and they're working on updating their stream on their side. So there is a probably midterm plan, not a short-term plan, unfortunately.
There's no plan right now with Fairfax. I talk with Fairfax once a week. There is no plan right now.
Well, if we can't get the land connections, then it'll be much harder for us to do in the future as well, but I take your point. So we were looking at where to place the building. One of the concerns that we had with putting the residential on the front side is that we wanted to make sure that there would be some activity for the park. One of the principles that we try to work on is eyes on the park, to have people who are living in units that are facing the park. We know that this is a little bit isolated in the short term, probably in the midterm, and so having a residential project that would back up to the park gives us some of that interaction for it. And that's also part of the reason that we were pushing for the power uses on the front of that side. So you have some activation on the front of the street, you have nice sidewalks looping it around the side of the building, and then ultimately there'd be a residential use for that.
I just want to reiterate your concerns about this is how we start with the Eisenhower West plan, that the two of us sat as advisors on that group, and we didn't envision everybody coming in to change the master plan as the way to make it grow.
So Mark, can you go to the aerial for a second? So, I sat here better part of 2 years with Mindy and the team, and we talked about what to do with Thicket Street. It was a long process. We understand it would be starts and stops. I represent the client who's just to the left. Mark, if you point them out, that is the Victory Van Center. And I'm here as a business representative, and it's a bit of a tough case because as a business representative, you want businesses to succeed. The problem the owner has with the concept is not the concerns staff had, it's the execution of it. Because this client's concern is once you put the public storage building there, you're reinforcing the long-term industrial. My client, also because he's in the moving business, doesn't oppose the concept, it's just being on the front ticket. So Mark, I think we talked about this last night a little bit, of a small river bus, could you flip it? And the reason for that is he feels that if he's behind the public storage building at the end of the street, he will be absolutely the last person to redevelop. I know you talked about the building form, and I get it, the same form, but the use of the form also matters. And his thought is if the public storage is towards the back of the site, then there's a chance, there's a shot that redevelopment for residential will happen. One of the concerns he has also that I share is on the 15-story building, that the rents aren't there today. With steel going through the roof, inflation's out there, but we haven't seen wages gone up. That building is, who knows how far away. So in the interim, can we flip it to the front? The problem for all of us and the challenge is they do have a buy right option. That is not an irrelevant fact.
But it still has to get through planning.
No, of course it does. Of course it does. But it's also just a fact. And my client, we all work for somebody, as I'm fond of saying, he wouldn't mind a buy right option because then these guys spend less. And maybe in 15, 20 years, they want to redevelop, they can have it. And then a client can see over it. I know that's a tough view to take, but I understand staff idea about eyes on the street, but I think what you're doing is you're putting that building back there, you're furthering any residential development further out. Whereas if the industrial's in the back, my client in 5 years and his lease has expired, maybe he does come forward. So it's a tough case, but I'm not sure if there's any solution that would make everybody happy.
There's all kinds of good points on both sides.
That's right.
And that's what makes it short.
So for that client's request, he would respectfully request you consider just because then it allows a residential character. I think it would still be a possibility within the next decade where you feel that it's further out if this building's put out in front. So.
And I guess that's why we take the time and try to put the effort in to meet what the Eisenhower plan wants in terms of providing the streetscape, providing the maker space, providing the activity there. This could easily just be a multi-family building.
And a box
itself.
Right. And Mark, it's not the form, we get the form, it's part of the master plan.
But I'm gonna say, it's just, you know, in terms of, you know, I question whether people coming down here are gonna say, oh, now I've, you know, the hit is dead down here. I don't think you're gonna hit it dead, I think it's, you know, part of continuous drive. When you drive down there, you drive down there now, you drive by, you know, property after property after property, and, you know, someone's storing cars, you know, someone's, you know, got a deli or something like that, you know. I think you've gotta just look at it, you know, in context of the entire area of the street.
Mark, thank you. My name is Joe Lewis, and I am a principal with Advisors LLC. I represent Passport Auto Group and Bellstore. Passport has properties further down the street on South Pickett. Bellstore has properties on Eisenhower. My clients are developers and naturally are pro-development. And while they are not opposed to the concept of developing properties to their highest and best use, they are very concerned that the precedent set by this first application did not place them into a less or unfavorable position with the city. With that preface, my clients requested that I convey the following positions with respect to the proposed public storage facility and the 15-story residential building proposed to be sited at 880 and 890 South Pickett Street and 620 Burnside Place. The Van Dorn Innovation District envisions a, quote, pedestrian-friendly South Pickett Street, which is more attractive to residents and shoppers, close quote. The plan is intended to transform what is now mostly large, disconnected parcels with low-density, single-use, predominantly light industrial, office, and warehouse buildings into a mixed-use, higher-density, green, sustainable, connected place. People will be able to walk, bike, take transit, or drive to homes, workplaces, shops, restaurants, parks, and recreational opportunities. We don't see anybody walking to this facility or to Victory Van Lines or to Smith Lumber. The planned area land uses identified for the applicant's lots are lot in sections 4 and 5 of the SAP suggests the site should be residential in nature with production, wholesale, and repair at street level. For the applicant's property, section 4 of the SAP recommends PWR, retail, office, institutional, more than any other use by far, residential. We believe the applicant's proposal to add a storage facility is clearly inconsistent with the vision for South Pickett Street and the Innovation District in general. My clients believe that placement of the storage facility fronting on South Pickett Street is not consistent with the goal to develop from existing low-density warehouse spaces to a vertical and horizontal mix of residential and commercial development, where the commercial is broad and diverse and can include retail, office, and PWR, such as we've described previously. The storage facility will not generate any foot traffic, as I mentioned before, and will not create the ambiance that the SAP promotes. Storage facilities are, in a sense, destination locations insofar as people drive to them. They do not walk to them and go specifically to the location. The applicant identifies the parking lot adjacent to Backlick Run as a temporary interim parking lot for the use of vehicle storage ancillary to the self-storage use. Section 4 indicates surface parking areas are prohibited except for interim uses. We do not believe that the outside storage parking lot is consistent with the vision for the SAP. If the City of Alexandria is inclined to approve the storage and parking use proposed by the applicant, it must recognize that the placement of a storage facility, which is three times the height of the current Boat U.S. building, will be the first thing the apartment and condo residents see who reside on Etzel, Yokin, and the other streets above the project. From the upper floors of the Gateway Landmark to the applicant's site, there is nearly 300 feet of elevation drop. Siting the storage facility where indicated means that 5,000 plus residents above this property will be looking at a six-story storage facility rather than residential. Siting the residential building as contemplated by the applicant will result in a 15-story building facing the railroad tracks, the roof center yard, Vulcan Materials lot, and the L.C. Smith Masonry Yard, which I might add is located in Fairfax County and therefore not likely under the control or influence of the City of Alexandria. My clients did not believe a 15-story residential building that looks over the railroad tracks and warehouses on Eisenhower will ever be viable or marketable. My clients see this application for a storage facility as a one-shot deal with little or no possibility that residential will ever be built on this site. Based upon the foregoing, my clients are opposed to permitting a storage use on the property and also object to the building footprint layouts proposed by the applicant. They do not think this is the innovation contemplated in the FAP. If the city is inclined to approve the uses, it is my client's opinion that the storage facility should be placed next to the Backwick Run, and the residential building should be located so that it fronts on South Pickett Street, consistent with the precedent set by Mathero Tempo down the street. Thank you.
So Mindy, what's our course of action here? This is the first project we've had that's gone through. Are we voting, not voting? Requesting anything? What's your
thought? Don't actually vote. We can come to a conclusion.
Sure.
But the next course of action is Planning Commission, and you know, there should be a report, and I'm happy to do the report from this group as part of what I have to say. If other people want to speak at Planning Commission, that's extremely appropriate, because that's really the first vote. And then from there, it goes to City Council.
So Mark, what is your response to the flip? No?
I think that I'll let Dan talk about that, but at this point, I think we've worked with staff. We thought we'd come up with what would be the best solution at all for that in our plan. This came from...
Well, you know what, Mark? This is what happens when you work with staff and not with the landowners and the community as well. And when things are done in a bubble, it just doesn't work.
You know, this was what we originally came up with. Since then, we've tried our best to meet the, spent quite a bit of time and money to meet the goals of the Eisenhower West Plan to give the community everything else they wanted. You know, if this isn't what the community wants, you know, then we'll take that word back to public storage. But, you know, I think that my hope would be there's time for more additional discussion and outreach on this to talk this thing through a little further. And yes, we've got proposals. I can't answer. I'm not going to negotiate that right here. But yeah, we'll take the word back and we'll talk internally, see what we can do. You know, at the same time, you know, even after I get done here, we're going to stay here the rest of the meeting. And if people want to come up and talk to us, you know, afterwards, and I'll hand out cards and we'll conduct meetings and we'll just see where else we can go further on.
But you know, my response is, you know, having the apartment or building in the back is, one, consistent with the Eisenhower plan, and two, it's what staff wanted. And, you know, this has been a collaborative effort that we've been working together with them on. We spent a lot of time and money getting this plan to this place. And it, you know, it meets the intent of the Eisenhower plan. It's what staff wants, and it works for us. So at this point in time, to try to say we're, you know, to ask to flip it, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, the idea is to have the, you know, the commercial, the maker spaces, the light industrial type of uses up on Pickett, and having, you know, the residential at some point in time facing back like Run. And, you know, my guess is that they will never be a 15-story apartment project. It's going to probably be something much, much lower and much less dense than that. But the market will tell us what it's going to be.
If there's ever no market for that residential building at all, will public storage still be satisfied with its investment? And then if that land never develops,
yes,
behind the,
yes,
storage,
yes,
your investment in that parcel will have paid off?
Yes.
Okay. I guess, you know, I would say, you know, we're happy to continue having discussions with everybody. You know, majority of what I'm hearing is people don't want the public storage up here, but also people just don't like the fact that you have storage there. You know, there is a buy right option. There's storage available that way, but what we're trying to do is do our best. We're kind of caught between two difficult circumstances. We have a buy right option, we own the property. We want to be able to get done what they want to do on their property, but they want to do that in a way that meets all the other objectives, you know, of the Eisenhower plan. If we don't do that, then we go by right. Yeah, that will be, that eliminates the ability to get a lot of those with those objectives achieved. We would like to continue having, if this is the first time everybody's saying this, and it's a, you know, this gentleman here said, this is a lot to see right up front, and suddenly, you know, and I know there's a question about outreach, and that question of outreach, that's my fault. You know, let's continue to have those discussions. And we're happy to stay and have those conversations and to meet with other people's organizations, you know, in the coming weeks and the like, and just see where we can take the conversation.
But I mean, this plan here is significantly more expensive than if we were to come in and do a buy right option. Significantly more expensive for not that much more storage space. We're really trying to work together and to give, you know, the community and the city what they want. I get that it's going to be a long time. I mean, but we got to start somewhere start a plan.
And I think unless anyone has any other questions, we've got one more presentation tonight.
One quick question. Back on the buy right option, is it possible to slide the building south to the easement or to the RPA, whichever?
I'm not going to fight plan the thing here in the middle of the meeting. This was something this was literally the first, we came up with, back 3-4 months ago. And, that's kind of what we're looking at. Yeah, we hadn't even taken this thing beyond, just kind of further, look at the streetscapes and stuff like that. We did this, we talked to staff. Staff was, very clear about, saying this is, people may not be happy with the fact that self-storage is coming in and it's contrary to the Eisenhower West Plan. I get that, right? But I think your concern was even more that a lot, this coming in, without all the other stuff, would even be more contrary to what the Eisenhower West Plan, was envisioning, and it would be received even more negatively. So we've been trying to work and spending a lot of money and spending a lot of time, and I understand, but not doing it in the context of the community, and now we're trying to transition to the context of the community, to see if we can, find a better solution that works for everybody, and hopefully get you as close as you can to the vision of the Eisenhower West Plan. That's our commitment, is to continue to stay here and to be involved in the community and to have the dialogues and the meetings we need to have.
Mike, to put you on the spot, is this thing going to be scheduled for November and the staff report come out in 2 weeks to recommend approval? Is that where you are?
We will get back to you on that. Okay. We will make sure that the presentation is posted to the website. As Mark noted, the conversation will continue, and staff will also be available for the rest of the meeting if any other questions occur to you. But we're almost at 8 o'clock, so we should probably move on to the next
meeting. Well, Mark, thanks for coming. You're here. I now have a better understanding of what it was than I did 2 days ago. I appreciate you coming and understanding the constraints. So.
Yeah, and good questions, good points. Yeah, we work together, have a dialogue, we find a common ground.
This is Donna Scott from our office. She's a new associate.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, that's true. we go by right.
Okay, are you ready?
Year.
My name is Bud Hart. We're going to be hopefully very brief, but hopefully very informative. We've been going with this project, I think, for about 2 years now. We've been here before. We've been to Cameron Station twice. We've had one community meeting. Donna's handing out notice for the second community meeting that's coming October 23rd. We don't want to over-inform you, but we've been going for a couple of years, and we're getting ready to be coming before the Planning Commission soon. I'm going to be 2 minutes now, and 5 minutes later, George Eisenberg is the architect with Michael Winstanley that's going to put this on. Let me say, my 2 minutes I already did. I wanted to make sure everybody knew we started a long time ago, and we've been out in the public a few times already. We've been here before, so here goes.
Right.
Here goes George.
Okay. Familiarize yourself with the project once again, and an update on where we are right now. What we're considering is the balance of the sort of super block, if you will, that's bounded by Etzel Road, South Thicket, and Van Dorn. And this small area plan, the landmark Van Dorn small area plan, this area is known as Picket Place. And what we've tried to do from the start is put in place the main concepts that are called out for this area in the small area plan. The difference, as you may recall, is that before we paired this development with the owner of Green Hill Capital Corporation, considerable properties south of Pickett, which are in the West Alexandria small area plan.
But West Eisenhower.
West Eisenhower, sorry. And at the request of the city, we've separated this out right now. And the intention is to go for a CDD in the spring of 2019 on the West Eisenhower parcel. Okay, so we're talking about 14.9 acres, and the existing Moderna Tempo is here, which is not part of the property. There's a small triangular part here on South Thicket, which is not part of the property, and the Shell station on the corner of Van Dorn and Etzel is not part of the property. But what we've proposed from the start is a development that, you know, establishes a street grid within this sort of super block area, which also slopes considerably from Etzel down to South Thicket. And it has two major features, which is an east-west retail street. And we're required in this whole area to have approximately 250,000 square feet of retail, which is a lot. And then there's a north-south street that features a half-acre median urban park, okay, called the Town Green. And this is right out of the small area plan. And there are some precedents for this in other cities like Seattle, as they say, in the small area plan. I know in Portland there's a major boulevard there. I can't remember the name, which is like that. And even over at National Harbor, if you can think of, there's sort of a street that goes down from the water up, which is, has a median and retail on both sides, and then it's crossed by a major retail street. So we're talking about something like that. And that's the heart, you know, of the development. You know, pedestrian friendly, and there's possibility, depending on where the eventual connector road to the Van Dorn Metro goes, to use that street, you know, for transit way even as it comes down Van Dorn. Or in the north-south direction, as you can see with this possible alignment, which right now the city is considering their preferred alignment. But disposition of that connector, as you may know, is still very much undetermined in terms of when and how the rights are acquired to make that connection, besides how you cross the Norfolk Southern Railroad tracks, which is a major negotiation. So what we're talking about here is that the small area plan calls for a 2.0 SAR, which would yield about 1,300,000 square feet of development. What we're asking for is just north of 2 million square feet. And the main reason for that is that in order to support that level of retail, you need more housing, essentially, to make that work. Plus, you do need the interconnecting bridge to make that viable from a traffic standpoint and just to be able to, you know, bring people to the site to make it really desirable to live there. As Bud will explain in a little while, a lot of the increase in density, about a third of it, will go to affordable housing. There's a commitment for that from the owner. And the rest of it will be concentrated in the middle with taller residential towers, as we've been showing in our model, and which is what is called for in the Van Dorn plan. So you have the taller towers in the middle. You know, it's highly urbanized because that's what the setting is, and then it falls off as it goes out to the periphery. Okay, and there are retail opportunities all along the retail street, spilling out onto South Pickett and onto Van Dorn, again as called for in the small area plan. And then in addition, we've added a phase one development in this northeast corner, which is going to be fairly unique in this area, but it has received a lot of good reaction from the community as we presented it. The retail will still face the streets, but also has the opportunity for facing inward on what we call a piazza. It's more of a European kind of town square, which would be a significant urban amenity because it would be a programmed kind of place, you know, with farmers markets and other programmed space, and that's something that the owner is committed to. This is looking in the future what it could look like when we go to DSUP. Right now, we're just really applying for the CDD, which is, you know, the uses that are being asked for, the retail, primarily residential, although there is an office option in case the office market miraculously comes back that would be concentrated in the middle here. Something like, you know, PTO in the middle of Carlisle. You can envision that as a possibility, but not a likelihood in my view. And then some office on Etzel, so there is a requirement for a considerable amount of office also on this site. And then also we're adding hotel as a use because quite frankly, with what we understand is coming up on the Landmark Mall site, we think that that will be a desirable use here as well. So in CBD, with the agreement of the city, we've identified these blocks and we're tweaking it and we're expecting to go to the Planning Commission and City Council by the end of this year with this project. And I'll turn it back to Bud to explain some of the other
things. I am Mary Catherine Gibbs, substitute. She's my daughter, my partner. She let me come tonight because she has to make a presentation to about 30 people herself for a couple of hours down the street Baptist Church, and And so she said, it's your job, get up there. So, excuse me, I'm the sub, but this is a very important project to us. We think this proposal, while higher in density and height than the landmark Van Dorn plan, implements the goals of the plan and begins the further redevelopment for the corridor that the city's really been waiting for a long time. The themes for the landmark Van Dorn plan, creating and guiding the transformation of this area along the Van Dorn corridor to take it from the suburban 1950s, when I went to high school, feel into a true neighborhood and thriving area. Some of you don't remember what it was like in the 1950s in cities. I can remember it well. You can ask me whenever you like. The increase in the neighborhood connectivity, which requires creating a network of streets beyond Van Dorn to facilitate circulation throughout the neighborhood, and it includes adding mixed-use zoning to promote the growth. It seeks to add community amenities like urban parks and plazas that George has just talked about. It provides a space for vitality during both daytime and nighttime in order to support the retail that people really want. When we've been at Cameron Station, what people really want in this area is good retail. And in order to get good retail, you have to do the kinds of things we're doing, we think. The overall goal of eliminating the amount of development that's approved to what the transportation network can support, improving transportation in phases and allowing new development as that progresses. We've got a phased development plan that does exactly that. So that's what we're working toward. The plan allows, the landmark Van Dorn plan allows for 7 million square feet of development total in the landmark Van Dorn area. We're implementing 1.3 million as planned, asking for an additional 800,000 square feet. But watch this. 500,000 of that square feet is an affordable housing density bonus. So of the 300,000, that's a master plan increase. 100,000 is in an enclosed parking garage. So it's not like we're adding traffic with everything in it. Picket Place, which we're a part of, is considering a center of development activity where there'd be a mix of uses in the future, and about 70% residential and 30% non-residential, focused on retail. We provided options so we can get a good mix of uses going forward. This seeks to satisfy a significant goal of the city, increased affordable housing availability. I just mentioned what our density bonus is. We're asking for a master plan amendment to increase the density and height. But we propose to the city that a certain amount of that density and height is requested because we plan on providing a significant level of affordable housing on site as a part of this redevelopment. There's that affordable housing density bonus is just short of a 500,000 square feet. What this amounts to, and the particular details still being worked out with the city's Office of Housing, but of the 491,000 square feet of additional density being requested under the zoning ordinance's affordable housing density program, one-third is requested to be on-site units. One-third of that is approximately 163,000 square feet, or about 163 units, assuming an average of 1,000 square feet a unit. That's a very large amount of affordable housing that will go a long way to satisfying a primary goal of the city. We've declared, all of us have, that to be the city's number one strategic goal. We did that in the strategic plan. It's now 7 or 8 years old plan, but we set it and it's never been changed. Now, for housing affordability, we think this meets the goals of the plan. We think it does it in a way that is really attractive to people that want a lively urban place to be around, and we're happy with doing it, and we hope you'll be happy with what we do. And I don't think I have anything more to say.
Do you have any idea what level of affordability are you looking at? 60% to 80% AMI? Has that been
Discussed? That's not been determined, but what we're looking to, there's an affordable level that's needed very badly for the teachers and firemen and the people at 80%. That's a big deal that we're not meeting in a lot of places. We're going to do. This is going to take care of 60 to 80, But what we've talked about is, let's see how much we can focus on the matter of getting what's been called workforce housing. Yes, sir.
How far into the program will it begin to provide some affordable housing?
The affordable housing's got to, the money's got to come up as you get your certificate of occupancy. So you don't go far into it before you're doing the affordable housing. That's got to be, and the units that you do have to be done as you're doing all the rest of them. So it's like you're when you begin to construct this project, you begin to construct your affordable housing.
But if I can just,
yes.
Sorry, open this topic. So this project is actually going to be going to AHEXville in November, so it'll be the first item on our agenda. And it's by the indicator, so the units would actually be coming in as the residential buildings come in. That's how it's proposed. And just to clarify, so these units would be constructed under bonus subsidies, so they would actually be a 60% AMI. So roughly, to give you an idea, it's about $49,000 to about $7,000 for a household of one to start. So they're mostly working families.
My apologies. I should have said, here she is. Give me the answer. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
What are we talking about with changes in building height?
We're talking about there is up to 150 unless there's a 30,000 square feet of dedication that the city wants to get for a school site on this part. If we do that 30,000 square feet, that density's got to be replaced in the rest of it, and that'll take it up about another 20 feet. So in the middle, if you look at this, in the middle of it, these will probably go to about 170 feet. On the edges, it'll go to 100 feet.
Yeah.
Right.
The small area plan calls for a maximum of 120 feet in the middle. With the affordable housing, you get a 25-foot height bonus. And above, the 120, so that takes you to 145. And we're just a little higher than that in the base version, as Bud said, without the city taking the 30,000 square feet for civic use.
I have a mild disagreement with my architect.
Okay.
I think that the plan calls for higher than 120. I think we start with 145 or 150, and then the affordable housing bonus takes us to the 170. That's right. But whatever it is what the code calls for, and I know the number is 170. So.
And the additional parking is below ground?
Pardon
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
The additional parking is
underground? Yeah, the additional parking is underground. There's one large parking garage, 96,000 square feet. That's a big parking garage.
Yeah.
That's closed in, but that's above ground.
It's all covered. And the notion is, as I mentioned, the site slopes fairly dramatically in certain areas. And when you figure height in the city, you have to take an average of the grades around the perimeter of the site. And so if a site is sloping, 10 feet or 20 feet in some cases, then sort of the average grade will come out in the middle. So that's where you're going to be measuring the height from. And that also accounts for some of the additional height that we're looking for to get retail and then the residential.
From an urban place standpoint, I think it's really neat that the highest height comes in the middle of the site. You're not putting it on the edges. You're sort of stepping up to it. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a good urban place, a good urban design. Yes, Donna?
Is any of that residential owned?
Pardon me?
Is any of that residential?
We don't know yet. We think most of it's going to be rented, but we don't know. It's sort of like you get the residential approved and then the market determines a lot of, but I suspect it's going to be primarily rental residential.
And you guys said this already, but I just want to underline it a little bit because it's unusual for staff as well. What is going forward is just the CDD. And typically we have a CDD and a development special use permit associated with it. And so that's where we really get into the nuances of what's the height, how's the parking going to be screened, what's the affordability levels, is it condo, is it apartment? And so we've been fortunate to work with a really creative team who came in with this amazing vision. Typically we have projects that come in sort of middle of the road, and we're having to kind of push to say, where can we get to? And these guys came in and brought this vision, and so for once we've been saying, let's simplify it, this is essentially the roadmap that's being put forth.
In 54 years of practice, I've never been called a visionary before.
So, yes. So what's, have you started on your DSUP yet, or is that just a later phase?
That's a later phase.
You're not in there.
Right.
And is all this concrete or stick, or what's your, is anything,
well, okay.
What I'm eventually getting at is what's
so,
the first phase?
We, as part of the CTD, we have proposed how this would likely be phased.
Okay.
And a lot of it is determined by the lease terms that the owner has. With the longest term one, it's a giant. And so the notion is that this area here would be phase one.
Okay.
And it might actually be a podium with stick on top, because we're saying this is six stories essentially here. So it's comparable to what's already being built across the street. Or
what I didn't do, and I should have, when you said that the owner, Lenny and Richard, the owners, are always here. Lenny's the father and Richard's the son, just like me and Mary Catherine. Lenny's wife is being operated on today. So the two of them, the mother and the wife, are not here. But they've been here for every time we get together. Yes?
But I may have missed this, but how many residential units would there be at full build-out?
Well, there's about a million. It's about...
600,000.
So I think it was 1,630 residential units at 1,000 square feet a unit gross, you know. So.
And they're all pretty much flats, right? No townhouses. It's all flats.
For now, yeah. I would assume that that's what they are.
1,630.
But you've got to know that that's always flexible. You know, as the market goes along and the market
doesn't
go along.
Conceptually at this stage.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have more of comments rather than questions. First of all, I want to commend you for reaching out to the communities in stark contrast to the first presenter. And also, I think it's startling that you guys have to go before the commission later than they do. The second thing that I wanted to point out, it's very important to us that the piazza remain the way it is. I think that's going to be a great draw. I think it's very innovative, and I think it's a huge plus.
We've had some discussions with staff about that, so we'll have continuing discussions about that, and maybe we find a different name and call it. But the point is, it really does flavor the place in a good way.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
My comment is actually really, or my question maybe, or suggestion is really to staff. I live in this area on Valley Forge, and I've been to the Moderna complex several times. When there's no parking for the retail. And when he said potentially 1,000 units there, I immediately thought of the impact that would have on, because not everyone's just going to stay in their little village. They're all going to want to get in their cars at some point and go somewhere. And people will want to go there. There's serious traffic on South Pickett now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I hope planning is working with ADOT or VDOT or whoever to really think about how we're going to move people around who actually want to get in their car and go somewhere.
And keep this in mind.
This is my first meeting, so I don't know how much you guys have talked this out.
We've already talked about it a lot. And keep this in mind as we do the DSUPs. There's a big deal that happens with that, with each of the DSUPs, when you do your traffic plan and how you move things to and from it. In Alexandria, we've got to always keep in mind that, like on Van Dorn Street, 90% of our traffic is through town, not to town.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always the business of there's the regional stuff that's going on. Some of that does get displaced as you do your thing. But the fact is, we'll need to do some. Each DSUP will have a serious transportation analysis to study for it, and we'll be working with
them. But we already have submitted, you know, a very serious transportation study. That not only went to Alexandria TE&S, but to VDOT and Fairfax County and all kinds of intersections in the whole area were targeted. And we are also proposing as part of the CDD, not just the DSUP, dedication of extra turn lanes to improve intersections like at South Pickett and Etzel, and that there's a major dedication along Van Dorn for when the BRT goes through. Mm-hmm. So that's already baked into this plan.
Mm-hmm. And what's also baked into it is a staged matter so that later on, you know, there's going to be a multimodal bridge. We don't know when, we don't know exactly where, but the later phases of this plan don't happen unless that multimodal bridge gets there.
You said that phase one depended on the multimodal.
Not phase one.
Oh, only phase two?
Yeah, okay. Once you start going past phase one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So when you just mentioned that you're going to add more lanes, for example, on Edsel train on the South Pickett, where are those lanes going to come from? We're going to widen the road?
Well, towards the intersection of South Pickett here, right. Starting from about here, we've dedicated sort of a turn lane here.
Because if you come down where the Modiro one was, which I know was not part of your project,
yeah.
How they got more lanes was to make less lanes.
You mean they made the lanes narrower?
Yeah. Well, they had a bike lane and parking and took away lanes.
Oh,
which
okay.
Took away a whole lane.
Okay. And it also, when you go to look for the crosswalks, there is one crosswalk on Van Dorn and Pickett. The next crosswalk is up at Edsel, so you go the entire way with no crosswalk. The next crosswalk is across from Home Depot, if you dare go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is Duke Street. So I'm going to apologize in advance. God help the people who want to cross right now into any of the retail space along Pickett. You are froggers trying to cross there because it is brutal. In fact, we live and don't come out on Pickett because it's gotten so bad.
Yeah, and we just been through something like a discussion like that on South Route 1, where we're talking about affordable housing, and people are talking about the traffic. They're not talking about the new traffic that's going to come from the new stuff. They're talking about what's already there.
Yeah.
And what we got to do to take care of those things that are already there. And there's a lot of pedestrian modality kinds of things that I used the wrong words. There's a lot of things they do to make the pedestrian way more safe and keep people moving. So those are the kinds of things we got to think about all the time. All right, now I said 5 minutes, and I've been more than 5 minutes. Part of it's your fault. Anything else? Okay.
Thank you.
You're a good group.
Very nice.
Maybe is that it on our agenda?
I have one announcement. October 23rd at 6:30 in the Cameron Club, there is a very short pre-construction meeting for the Shell Station project on the corner of Edsel and Van Dorn. Will probably last less than 30 minutes.
23rd.
The same date as the community meeting. Their meeting will last a little bit. And yours starts at 7. Is that right, Bud? So they both start at the same time.
Right.
I'm